Where did this radio thing start? Was that there in high school?
A guy named William Howard Payne came into town, and I don't know why, to Cushing. I think he'd been raised in Oklahoma, but by that time he was a lawyer in Washington who primarily practiced on Indian law, Native American law. He put together the money and somehow got the FCC to give him a license for a 1,000-watt daytimer. For those who hear this and don't know what you know, John, daytimers, you sign on at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you sign off at dark. And it's really crazy kind of system. Do they still even have those things? I don't really know. It doesn't matter. But at any rate, they did then. This is back in the early 50s. So this guy comes into town. He builds this radio station. He gets all the staff put together, but they need kind of an odd job guy. And they don't want to pay much, so they think they'll get a high school kid to do it. So he calls the principal of the high school, said, "You got anybody like that?" And he said, "I don't know. I'll let you talk to our speech teacher." And our speech teacher, bless her heart, came to me and said, "There's this radio station gig that I think you could do." So I went out there, and that was my initiation into broadcasting. It's 1953, actually.
And you'd had no thoughts of radio prior to that time when she came to you?
Totally off the radar. I was an appliance store's assistant at that point.
Any thoughts about what you might have been when you grew up at that point?
No, I had a really terrible scholastic record at the University of Oklahoma. Went 3 years, I think. May have been 2.5, and then laid out a half, and then another half, but I never graduated. I flunked French 1 twice, and stuff like that. I had a good time, though. That may have been part of the problem. But I changed my major like 6 times. I started out in electrical engineering, I think, and then I went into mathematics because I was pretty good in math. Then I went into business, I think. OU, I think, at the time had a broadcasting school or journalism school, something like that. And I may have actually ended up there. But I never got a degree, so it really didn't matter.
But while you were changing your majors, you apparently hadn't decided to select radio as a career.
Well, I forgot to tell you, and it makes more sense, that 1953 was my last year of high school. So I had started in radio at that point. And OU was not that far away. Whenever I would come home, I would work at the radio station, even if it were only on weekends and they needed somebody to do that. And I would certainly do it through the summers. After 1953, I never had a job that was not in broadcasting. I may have done an odd thing to try to pick up some money one time. I think this was in Cushing, and I remember crawling up on top of railroad tankers and sealing them off or something in the middle of the night, and I got paid for doing that. But it was just a part-time job. I can speak freely now because my mother and father have died, and it really wouldn't be of interest to anybody else. But they needed as much financial support at that time because their business was going through a long downhill slide that eventually led to failure. So I helped out a little there.
The call letters of that station that you were working on?
KWHP, and the WHP was for William Howard Payne, the guy who started it. It's now known as KUSH, which makes a lot more sense if it's in Cushing.
You did about 5 years there at that radio station.
Off and on, yeah.
Till
58.
Maybe we can do a little background to the 50s, what was happening. Did you recall news of the Korean War and maybe soldiers from your area serving in it?
As far as I know, I never knew anybody or came in contact with anybody who was in Korea. I'm sure I must have known about it because I did newscasts at KWHP or whatever it was at that time. But the newscasts were simply rip and read stuff right off of the wire, along with whatever I could gather. Because despite the fact that the station was supposed to be fully staffed, what interested me was what news was going on around town. And so I sort of set up myself, and it was encouraged by the management, to cover the news in Cushing, which I did from a telephone from our studios, which were 2.5 miles outside of town. Hardly ever went out on a story because I couldn't. I mean, I was tied to the station because I was the announcer and the newscaster. I started covering local news when I was at KWHP, and it was the fashion at that time, if you were a member of the Associated Press, and everybody was, essentially, and you had a story of some interest beyond your own local community, to pick up the phone and give it to the AP. And I did that, and the AP, when they came back on their state wire, would say, story supplied by KWHP, or supplied by KRMG, or KVO, or whatever, in that kind of case. 90% of the stories were copies, carbons, that were coming out of newspapers, primarily the Daily Oklahoman and the Tulsa World, because the Associated Press actually had offices within their newsrooms. I mean, there were Associated Press people sitting there getting carbons of every story that ran in the World and the Oklahoman. And that's the way that that was set up. But at any rate, those little supplied by lines were out there. And there was also an association of Associated Press stations, I think. They would give awards to people who participated more because they wanted participation. That's how the system worked. So I got awards, and I think I was president of the organization once, so forth. But at any rate, it came to the attention of Dick Schmitz, who was at that time with KAKC in Tulsa. He was one of what we called the second generation KAKC people. And KAKC had taken over the Tulsa market with a top 40 format. One other thing about my high school days, I was also senior class president. And there was an impeachment move to get me out of office because I, number one, refused to buy a high school ring, which I thought were just junk. And number two, I would not participate in the annual junior-senior fight, which was a sort of a rite of spring in which two or three carloads of boys, juniors and seniors, would go out and they would find a country road. There was no traffic, and it stopped the cars and get out in the middle of the road, and a junior would fight a senior, fist fight, bare knuckle, go for the face, hit him in the nose, kind of fist fight. And it would normally last long enough until it drew blood someplace, and then everybody would say, okay, that's enough, now we're going to go back home. So they went home, and I refused to participate in both of those. But there was also an activity there which I find really charming in retrospect, in kind of a macabre way, in which at night a carload of boys would go out on those country roads again, and one of them actually would ride on the fender of the car, going very slowly. Lights were on, of course. And you would occasionally scare up a rabbit or a cat. Then you'd take the shotgun that the guy out on the fender was taking, and you'd take a shot at whatever it was. And they always kept asking me if I would go along, and why don't you do this, Vaughn? You're not much of a man if you don't go out and if you don't go hunting with us. And I'd never been hunting, and I really wasn't much of a fisherman anyway, not even that. But I'd certainly not a hunter, didn't have anything to do with guns and that sort of thing. So they finally talked me into it. And when it came my turn, I was on the right front fender, and something came up in the road. I've forgotten what it was. Could have been a turtle, for all I know. But at any rate, I fired one shot, and I blew the hood ornament off a 1947 Plymouth, which was the car in which I was riding. Hood ornament at that time for Plymouths were about 6 inches long, and they had three little ships in them, sailing ships. It was kind of an interesting hood ornament, and it just went away with my first and only shot. So that's the only thing I've ever hunted for, is hood ornaments off of old Plymouths.
In the radio station, were you never performing as a disc jockey? Was it always news?
No, I did have to do a disc jockey thing every once in a while, and it was terrible. It was just god-awful. The only thing I remember about it is that I had to use the name Hillbilly Willie one time. Now, how's that?
Why that name?
I don't know. Nobody else was using that name, or maybe they were, and they just ran out of people to use it. And I don't remember what I did. It sounds like that was country and Western music, but I certainly didn't know anything about that.
So then it was your news work through basically the 5 years until 1958.